I think that one of the biggest challenges, as you just mentioned rightly, is hunger. So the famine, while it's not an officially a famine condition right now, there are serious humanitarian concerns, particularly for those in southern Somalia who are victims to the conflict and communities that are basically feeling the negative impact and consequences of an active conflict, and food prices that are being impacted or don't have access to food because of the conflict. So those are one of our biggest concerns and one of the biggest challenges that people are facing.
Your organization offers a Cash for Work program. How does this work?
Well, Adesso pioneered cash transfers in Somalia and in Africa in general. We are the first documented NGO to have undertaken cash transfers. It's because we believe that people have a diverse needs, just like you and I. They don't have just a food need. They have also a water need. They have a shelter need. They have a health need. And cash transfers gives them the options, the flexibility to basically provide for themselves and their children beyond just the food aid that's given. So when you have a sack of grain or cereal that's given to you in the form of food aid, you're not able to fulfill all these other diverse needs. You're only able to fulfill your food need. So the cash transfers provides a lot of flexibility in that instance. And Adesso has been implementing cash transfers as the most effective transfer to vulnerable households in the Horn of Africa now for over 10 years.
Why have these types of programs, the cash-based programs, why do some people consider them controversial?
I think it's lack of information. Transfers have been proven, both humanitarian cash transfers and longer-term social protection. Cash transfers have now been proven to really lift people out of poverty, as it's been proven in Latin America, particularly in the case of Brazil. In the case of Somalia and Kenya, all the studies have shown that people are really using their small transfer for the best purposes. They are making very critical decisions around food, health, water, and those kinds of immediate needs, very basic survival needs. So I think there's this fear of letting go of control and giving the control from you, the donor, to the individual who's being impacted. And I think we all know that as individuals, no matter whether we're in Somalia or whether we're in Washington, D.C., we would like to be given some level of control and ability to make decisions about what we need at that time, and especially considering that they're diverse.
What can the people of Somalia do now to prevent famine and also to reduce their dependence on international aid?
Actually, Somalis are the most resilient community. They've been in conflict and in war conditions without effective government for almost 25 years. And in that time period, yes, we've had a famine where 260,000 people have died, but they've also have survived quite a lot. So one of the forms of resiliency that Somalis have is remittances. So actually, there is more remittance that comes into Somalia from families supporting each other who work in the region or abroad than there is in humanitarian aid. Conservative estimates is $1.3 billion comes into Somalia in the form of remittances. And these are from relatives, and these are Somalis really helping themselves. While international humanitarian aid at the worst time of the crisis didn't even reach $1 billion. That was during the famine. In normal years, it might reach $500 million. So the Somalis proportionally are contributing more towards themselves and towards each other than the international aid system is.